Yitzhak Abarimel was the finance minister of Spain. And even though he was allowed to remain in Spain after the expulsion of the Jews, because of his unique contribution to the country, thank you, and his indispensable value to its economy, the Abarimel chose to go into exile together with his people. In the year 1492, he ultimately moved to Italy, where he wrote his commentary on Chumash. In his commentary on Parshas Chukas, he lists 11 divergent explanations on the story of Moshe hitting the rock and as a result not being allowed entry into the promised land. The fact that he enumerates 11 different interpretations, some of them completely different, if not opposite, demonstrates how obscure and ambiguous the story is in Chumash. In fact, even though it's such an important story, it's such a vital story, 40 years of leading the Jewish people in the desert towards the promised land, suddenly the dream is completely transformed and Moshe is denied entry into the land. When you read the story to understand what happened, what was his sin, what was his mistake, what did he do wrong? It is one of the most cryptic, ambiguous stories in all of the Tanakh. There is the Italian commentator known as Shadal, Shmuel David Luzzatto. And he writes on this story, poor Moshe, he says. He committed one sin, but the commentators imposed on him 13 sins. Because he brings 13 different sins. So he says, he did one, but they put on him 13 sins. The Sefer, a more modern Sefer, Shari Arim, and he brings 25 sins that Moshe Rabbeinu did from all of the different interpretations. Let's see the text inside. It's the first source, Chukas, Perek Chav, Bamidbar, the book of Bamidbar, chapter 20. Vayavoyu b'nei Yisrael, kol ha'edah midbar tzim, v'chodesh harishim, v'yen shalom, v'kodesh, v'tomas shavirim, v'tikavar shom. The entire congregation of Israel arrives in the place called the Tzin Desert. In the first month, the month of Nisan, they're in a place called Kadesh. That's where Miriam passes away. And she's buried there. There's no water, so the whole crowd gathers around Moshe and Aaron. And they complain, we need water, we're going to die. Very sharp complaints. Till this point, it's deja vu. Well, they say deja vu all over again. The same story. It's not the first time they didn't have water. It's not the first time they complained. It's not the first time they lamented very sharp. What happens next, however, is where this story takes a unique twist, which of course changes history. Take the stick. And listen to these words carefully. Take the stick. V'hakel esei da'at of Aaron Achicha. Gather everybody, you with Aaron. V'dibartem el ha'selah le'ineyem v'nosam eimov. Speak to the rock in front of them and let it give its water. V'hitzesel le'mayim en ha'selah v'shtisa. Esha'ed v'zbira. Bring them out, water from the rock, and irrigate the people and their animals, their livestock. Yikach Moshe samatam lefnei Hashem kasher tzivo. Listen to these words. Moshe takes the stick from before God as He commanded him. Right away, any attentive student to Chumash, and when you read Teresh of Aksav, you have to be super attentive, not only to every sentence, not only to every word, but even to every letter. Moshe took the stick from before God. What exactly does that mean? As he was commanded. Yeah, we know he was commanded. He just said, a moment ago Hashem told him to take the stick, but we say, Kasher Tzivo. Vayakilu Moshe Varin Esakol Opnei Asela. They gathered the Jews to the rock. Vayemul HaMoyer says, Shimuna HaMoyer Amin Asela Zanoitzu L'chamay. Listen ye, O rebels. Will we take out water from this rock? Vayorem Moshe Yode Vayachas Asela B'Matehu Pa'amayim Vayetzu Mayim Rab Matesh Da'idu V'Yiru. He lifts his hand He strikes the rock twice, and a lot of water comes out. We would think, gewaldig, they didn't have water. This is a rock. He struck the rock twice. Everyone had water. The flow didn't stop. There was a waterfall that came out of this unique rock based on Hashem's commandments. And all was well when it ends well, right? That would be our perception, I think, of the story. A bomb strikes. Yan loye matem bi vakrisheni leni bnei Yisrael lachem lo yisaviyu as hakol azel arzah shenasachtem. Since you didn't believe me, or in me, to sanctify me before the eyes of the children of Israel, you will not bring them into the land I have given them. Heima mein meriva asher rabu bnei Yisrael as Hashem vayikadosh bo. If this is not enough, we now identify. These are called the waters of Meriva, which means the waters of strife, the waters of conflict, Meriva, the waters of quarrel, in which the Jews quarreled with God and he was sanctified with them. And that's the end of the whole story. So the whole destiny of Moshe Rabbeinu to lead the Jewish people into Eretz Yisrael, right here in this moment, is shattered. Why? It's completely unclear. What did he do wrong? That's why that Barbanel brings 11 reasons. The Shari Aaron brings 25 different explanations. You have the most classic is Rashi. Hashem told him to speak to the rock. He struck the rock. You have the Ramban. He got angry and spoke to the Jews very negatively. Rebels for no reason. The Ramban, we're going to take out water from the rock. That was the issue. Abarbanel himself, it has nothing to do with the rock. Moshe didn't go into Eretz Yisrael because he sent the spies. Aaron didn't go into Eretz Yisrael because he made the calf. Out of respect, it became associated with this random story of the rock. It just demonstrates to you the extremes of the interpretations. The Shari Aaron brings 25. If I'm not mistaken, there are many more. There are dozens and maybe hundreds interpretations of this story, according to Pshat, according to Remes, according to Drush, according to Soit. The works of Kabbalah have a lot on this story. The world of Remes, from the Megala Amukis to similar Svarim, have a huge amount on this story. The Zohar has a whole perspective on the story. The Arizal has a long minor, a long discourse on the story. In addition, of course, to Pshat, all the explanations of Pshat. You're dealing with dozens and maybe hundreds different perspectives of what happened. It's so cryptic. Well, today, I want to explore together with you one explanation, one insight. It's original, it's innovative, it's novel. I've not seen it in any other place, only in this one source. And this is the interpretation of the Rabbi Chover Gaon, Rabbeinu Yosef Rosen, whom we have quoted and discussed numerous times in these shiurim. The Rabbi Chover Gaon passed away in 1936, Tafresh Tzadik Vav. He was the Rav of Dvinsk, today in Poland. The Rav of the Hasidim in Dvinsk, together with the Ur Sameach, Rav Meir Simcha, was the Rav of the Ashkenazim. He was born in the city of Rabbi Chover, therefore he's called the Rabbi Chover genius. That's where I think Timus Esther, 1936. Now I have to tell you, when I saw his interpretation the first time I read it, it struck me simply due to its originality and creativity, even though I have to say, quite strange, quite off the mark. It's not what you're expecting. And the hardest thing was to decipher what he's saying. Thank God, Baruch Hashem, he wrote this interpretation in two separate sources. One is Tzafnas Paneach and Chumash on the Parsha, very cryptic. But there's another tshuva in Shaul. So tshuva Tzafnas Paneach, he was writing to somebody a tshuva, a long answer about something else. And at the end, he writes another paragraph about Mei Meriva. As a result of that, it's easier to get a little clarity into what he's saying. I mentioned to you that his writing was extremely cryptic and difficult, although his speaking was extremely clear. So his writing is very hard to understand. So I'm giving you the shiur the way I understood the words of the Rabbi Chover. If I have made an error, I apologize to him. in advance, and I'm sure some details might be erroneous. And let's get on the journey to see the story from his perspective. In the Rebbe Trubba's world, the secret behind the story begins, as always, with a nuance. And not a nuance of an extra pasuk or an extra word, but an extra letter. And the only way to appreciate the extra letter is when you compare it with the next story in Chumash. What's the story right after this? Shortly after, a few psukim later, Aaron HaKohen's death. Miriam passes away, there's the revolt, there's the story around the water, after her passing, she passed away in Nisan, Chazal tell us it was the 10th day of Nisan, Yud Nisan, and the next scene is, Aaron passes away a few months later, Rosh Chodesh Av. Of course, Moshe would pass away 6 months later, Zion Adar. And a month later, the Jews would enter into Eretz Yisrael under the leadership of Moshe's pupil, Yahushua, Ben-Nun, Joshua, the son of Nun. Let's see the next story, source number 2, Chukas Perek Chav, Pasuk Chav Gimel. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe v'al Aaron b'Hor Hor al Gur Eretz Edom Lamer. Hashem speaks to Moshe and Aaron by Hor Hor, the double mountain, at the border of Edom. We're dealing here in today's Jordan, on the east side of Eretz Yisrael, what we call the Trans-Jordan, today's country of Jordan, Petra area. Ye osif Aaron al Amav kiloyom elarish Hashem asatim lebnei Yisrael asher erisim eskilomen eriva. Aaron will be gathered to his people. He will pass on. He will not go into the land because you betrayed my mouth at the waters of strife. Everyone is expected to know what this means. Kachis Aaron besalaz of noy mahalos and my rahor v'hashu des Aaron his brother v'ilbashu besalaz of noy v'ani yosef v'mei shom. Take Aaron and Eleazar to the mountain, remove the clothes of priesthood of Aaron, place them on Eleazar. His son Aaron will pass away. Vayas Moshe kasher tziva Hashem. And Moshe did as Hashem instructed. Vayavel al-Hoyra har-le-enei kol-eidem, the eyes before the eyes where they went up to the Hoyra. Tell me now the difference in one detail between this story and the previous story. The Shmeichels, what's Shmeichels though? Huh? And here? Very good. In this story, it says, Moshe did kasher tziva Hashem, as Hashem commanded him. As Hashem commanded. As Hashem commanded. In the first story, it says, Moshe took the rod, Vayikach Moshe samat lefnei Hashem, kasher tziva hu. Not kasher tziva Hashem, not like Hashem commanded, as he commanded him. Now, we assume the he is Hashem commanded Moshe. Ask the Rav Gatshava, this is how he begins the discussion. Here it says kasher tziva hu, not kasher tziva Hashem. We intimate, it means that before Hashem, as he commanded it. The next story, kasher tziva Hashem. And from this he deduces that there was already something in the taking of the stick that was problematic. Hashem told him, kach es hamat, to take the stick. He took the stick as he commanded him. What it means he commanded him is he didn't actually take the stick as Hashem commanded him. That would only be in the next story. He took the stick the way he understood what Hashem commanded him. The way he deciphered, the way he interpreted him, he explained to himself the words that Hashem commanded him. But it actually was not what God actually commanded him. What is the issue? He took Hashem home to take the stick. He took the stick. The answer is, Hashem says, kach es hamata, take the stick. It doesn't say kach mata, take a stick. Take the stick. What's the stick? The stick, what's the stick? Moshe instinctively understands, the stick is the stick that lay in Kodesh HaKadoshim, that Aaron once gave after the story of Korach that was just read about. Every tribe gave their mat to their staff. Levi gave its mat. All the matas came out the next day untouched. Aaron HaKohen's staff from Shevet Levi was transformed into an orchard. It was budding. It produced flowers. It produced almonds. It remains in the Holy of Holies. It's the stick. The stick chosen from all the other sticks. The stick of his brother Aaron. That's the stick that Hashem wants him to take. Kaches HaMat. In truth, Hashem wanted a different stick. Not that stick. What's the proof? He doesn't say this. What's the proof that the Rav Gatshava is right? That Moshe Rabbeinu took the stick of Aaron. What do you think the proof is in the Pesukim there? There's a Gevaldik proof. Anybody? That he's right. What? Very good. This explains beautiful Pesuk Tes. Beautifully Pesuk Tes. Vayikach Moshe es Hamata milifnei Hashem. What does this mean from the... Hashem is everywhere. Wherever you take something, it's lifnei Hashem. No. He went in lifnei Hashem. What do we know? What's lifnei Hashem? Kodesh HaKadosh, the Holy of Holies, there is the unique presence of the Shekhinah. V'nayadati l'chosham. No one is allowed to go in there for that reason. That's where the stick of Aaron was. Mata Aaron was near the Aaron in Kodesh HaKadosh in the Mishkan. Moshe goes into Kodesh HaKadosh and he takes the stick of lifnei Hashem. Says the Rabbi Shammah, that's why it says Kasher Tzivo, not Kasher Tzivo Hashem. Hashem commanded the words, Kaches Hamata. He thought he's doing the commandment, but it wasn't Kasher Tziv Hashem. Hashem Tziv was something else. And I saw, even though he goes completely in a different direction, that the Chizkuni is one of the earliest commentators in Chumash, even though it's not learned as much as others, simply Hakol Toli B'Mazel, and the Mikrois Gedolos didn't have the Chizkuni in it, so you had to have a separate sefer. But the Chizkuni precedes most of the other commentaries of Chumash. He lived in the 1200s. The early 1300s, Reb Chizkiya ben Manoach passed away in France. So it's Mamash, one of the earliest commentators from the Rishonim. The Chizkuni says this. The Chizkuni says, what's Kaches Hamata? Kaches Hamata means iron stick. Hamata is the stick, iron stick, and the Kleyokar. The Kleyokar lives much later. Shlomo Ephraim of Lenshitz, the Kleyokar writes, I don't know where the Chizkuni got this. Lemotzasi loytavlin. I haven't found a spice for this. And then he says, but I still say he's right. What's his proof? Milifnei Hashem. And he brings some other proofs, although they go with a different mahalach. Now, what was the material of Aaron's stick? Berkachovitz says it was from a tree. It was wood. He takes this for granted. I assume the proof is all the sticks, what were they made of? A regular stick. What do you make a stick out of? A stick is usually made from a branch of a tree, it's wood, and it once grew, and the chiddush by Aaron is it started to grow again. But then I saw that there's a Medrash HaGadol. He doesn't bring this, I just was looking for it. Source number 3, Medrash HaGadol Korach Yudzayim. Dabra of Neisol, the Kachmi, Tamata, Zesh Amar Akosu, the Pasuk says in Yecheskel, the Yehu Kolatse Asad, the Kemi Hashem, all the trees should know I am God, Rishpalti Yates Gavoya, Igbati Yates Shofel, Ivashti Yates Lach, Ifrachti Yates Yavish, Ani Hashem, Divarti Vosis. I humbled a tall tree, I raised a humble tree, I dried up a moist tree, I blossomed a dry tree, says the Medrash, Ifrachti Yates Yavish. When did I make a dry tree blossom? Zeh, Yarin, Sheparach Matei. Clearly, even though that's pshat, the matter was for eights, it was for wood, this is the stick of Aaron. Source number 4. Zokte Mishneh and Shabbos, Daf Kufchav Gimel Amid Beis. Chomer Shal Zeisa. A cane, a stick, that's used to overturn olives. In Yesh Keshev Eroshoi, if there's a knot on top of it, as the Gemara explains, there's a plug, it's indented, Mekabel Tuma, it's susceptible to impurity, Vim Lav, Ein Mekabel Tuma, Vein Kach, Vein Kach, Mittel B'Shabbos, but it's not looked to, for every Gemara, my Pshutei Kleitzu. It's flat, wooden vessel, Pshutei Kleitz, Ein Mekabel Tuma. There are many types of utensil that are susceptible to impurity in halacha. When people hear the word Kabbalah's Tumah, they usually shut down, because when they heard it as children, it was too overwhelming and complex, and they never thought they'll be able to understand it. The truth is it's complex, but there's a saying in the Siddur in Tumah. It's a very organized halachas, and if you follow through as an adult, you can understand it very well. I mean, always, of course, relative, but you can understand it very well. So before you shut down, we're going to try to make this detail very clear. The Torah says that food, drinks, people, utensils are makabel tumah. They're susceptible to spiritual impurity. For example, if they're in a tent with a corpse, the same tent, if a corpse, a mace touches it, or another source of tumah, whatever that source of tumah may be, say one of the eight shrutzim, a certain dead weasel, etc., that touches this, keli is mekabel tumah. There's a few exceptions. Clay eights, a wooden vessel, is mekabel tumah, but there's an exception. Pshutei clay eights, ain't a mekabel tumah, it has to have a clay kibble. A flat piece of wood, right? Like we use, for example, a beam of wood that you'll use for schach on your sukkah. You'll use a skinnier beam, but it's irrelevant. It's not mekabel tumah, it's not susceptible tumah. If it has a clay kibble, what does a clay kibble mean? It's a receptacle. There's a cavity there. You could put something in. You have a wooden cup. You have a wooden bowl. Or actually, if it's something you could sleep on or something you could sit on, like a bed or a chair, then it's also mekabel tumah, what's called tumas midras. But we're not discussing that. We're talking a regular source of tumah. Pshutei kleyeitz. If it's flat, it's not mekabel tumah. Min haTorah, it's never mekabel tumah. Although there's certain instances when the rabbis did impose tumah, but that's not relevant now. We're speaking min haTorah. But if there's a clay kibble, if it's a receptacle, it's mekabel tumah. Why? Who said this? Dumya de sack, the Gemara says. The same pasuk in Shmini compares a sack that gets tumah to a clay eitz that gets tumah. A sack is something that its whole intention is to carry things in it, right? You have a bag, a sack, in order to have things in it. A clay eight that can carry things, that can hold things, it's mekabel tumah. Regli gemara, a cane, a stick of wood, is the chrish mekabel tumah, because it's pshutei clay eight, there's no clay kibble. And so the gemara, etana reshmeger and nechemia, reshosh and ahapach bezesim, haifchoi viroye boy. Because there's a little indentation in the stick, when you're turning over the olives, a little oil can go into it, and you check, you look at it, in order to see the quality of the oil, that's enough to be defined as a clay kibble. A little oil goes into it, and you can check it out, and therefore, the clay eitz is mekabel tumah in this situation. Says the Rav Achover here, we could see there's a stick, it's wood, if there's a type of indentation, and it's used in that way, it is mekabel tumah. Next step, and now we need an introduction. We now go to the world of mikveh. Here too, don't shut down. The Ezra Hashem is going to be clear. We use a mikveh. Till today we use a mikveh. What is the mikveh? What's the source of the mikveh? It comes from seven words in Parshas Shmini, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Lamed Vav, Zok Tatoir. Ach mayan uboir mikveh mayan yi yetoir. However, a wellspring or a pit, a cistern, a pit, that's mikveh mayim, that has a gathering of water, should be pure. What does this mean? Previously in Parashat Shmini, the Torah is saying that impure substances, something that's tameh, is metameh food, it's metameh drinks, it's metameh people, it's metameh vessels, utensils, kelim. Is it metameh a wellspring? Is it metameh a mikveh? This is no yiyatar. A mayan remains pure. A mikveh remains pure. I don't care if you take a corpse, you put it into the wellspring, you put it into the mikveh. It does not disqualify. It does not impurify the water. If it's not a mayan or a mikveh, you have a cup of water. Of course, the water becomes tameh. Of course, the food becomes tameh. And food you actually can't put into a mikveh. Other things that become tameh, a person, a vessel you put into a mikveh. Food you can't put into a mikveh, and unless you're allowed to eat tameh food, you may, usually allowed to, unless there's certain situations, you can eat it. Water you can actually be metayeh through a process called hashok et atzmo. Anyway, short. This is what the pasuk is saying. Water in a mikveh and a spring, yiyeh toyer, it remains toyer. Kam chazal, in toyer stoyanim, say no, it means something much more. There's a problem here. Mayan and mikveh are two things. Two things deserve a plural language, not a single language. It had to say mayan abar mikveh mayan. What did it have to say in Hebrew grammar? Yiyu tohir. Come Chazal and say, yiyeh tohir is referring to a person or a keli. Not only the wellspring and the mikveh remain pure. Yiyeh tohir. If I go into the wellspring or I go into the mikveh, yiyeh. The human being or the vessel that you put into the mikveh, yiyeh tohir, becomes tohir. Some sefer in his Truvas in Yeridaya, says something beautiful, and he writes at the end, I saw this once and I can't remember where I saw it. What does Ram Sofer say? He says the two interpretations are not separate interpretations. They're really the same thing. Because if a mikveh could become tameh, so if I'm tameh and I go into the mikveh, what happens? Why should the mikveh purify me? I'm the tameh, the mikveh. We see with everything. When something tameh touches something tameh, you don't say the pure makes the other thing pure. The impure makes the pure thing. So if I go into the well and I'm tameh, the well will become tameh. Here you say, not only does the well not become tameh, I become tameh. What's the reason? Some sofer says, since yitayah, since it remains tarn, it remains completely pure, so it's unaffected by the one that's tameh, therefore it could be matayah, the other one rather than the tameh. The truth is, that this says in the commentary of Ralbag, in Shmini, Ralbag lived in the 1300s, a few hundred years before the Sam Sofer, Reb Levi ben Gershon, and that's where it is. I assume that's where the Sam Sofer saw it, in the Pirush Ralbag, even though he says he doesn't know where he saw it, probably with the Pirush Ralbag, because he says this part clearly. Yiyatahir. So this is the whole source of a mikveh. There's two ways to cleanse something that's tameh. One is a mayon, and one is a bar mikveh mayon. These seven words are the source of all hilchos mikvahs. Fascinating. And the key issue with mikveh is, it's just like a mayon. Chazal tell us, ma mayon b'dei shamayim, af mikveh b'dei shamayim. What's the quality of a wellspring? It's heavenly. Hashem made it. I didn't make it, you didn't make it, it's not man-made. When the Torah says, bur mikveh mayim, what type of mikveh mayim? Bidei shamayim, meaning water that comes from heaven, classic would be rainwater, or water of a wellspring. It was once a wellspring is flowing down a mountain, falls into a pit, that's a mikveh, or rain, that's a mikveh, it's bidei shamayim. If, however, I collect the water, I go to a river, I go to a wellspring, and I collect the water, what we call mayim shuvim, and I pour it into my mikveh, I fill up my pool, I fill up my pit, then, of course, it's not a kosher mikveh under normal circumstances. This is what we call mayim shuvim. This is the din of mikveh. Come Chazal, and it's a Mishnah and a Gemara, and say, I still have a problem. And the problem is the word yiyah. Yiyah. I just want to say as a general note, it's not negated to this shiur, but I think it's important for people to understand how this works. If I'm not mistaken, Rabbi Shimshon Raphael Hirsch writes this somewhere. And that is, we read Gemara or Mishnayos, and for everything there's like this pshat in the pasuk, an extra word, an extra letter, and it should have said this and that. And it gets really very confusing for people because it's not communicated in a structured and organized fashion how Torah developed, Torah Shemitzav, Torah Shemal Pat. I just want to give one insight that I think will be helpful. Imagine somebody is giving you a shiur, and the shiur goes for 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours. Some people give shiur for so long. And you're sitting there, and it's beautiful, you're absorbing every word. You understand it, you retain it, but you want to remember it. So you take short little notes. You can't write word for word. But every subject, you just summarize in one line. You know, 5 words you summarize. Next subject, 5 words. You come home. Your wife says, how was it? You say, it was awesome, it was gewaldig. 4 hours, I was spellbound. She says, nu? You say, here are the notes. She takes a look at the notes. Right? For every 20 minutes, you have 6 words. She says, this doesn't make sense. It seems like it was foolish, it was rubbish. I don't understand what this person is saying. I don't see a message, I don't see a theme. So many things are unclear and ambiguous. You look at it and say, ah, you had to be there. If you were there, and then you would read the notes, you would see in each of the notes how it captures the message. You weren't there. Moshe Rabbeinu communicated to the Jewish people for 40 years through lecturing. He spoke. When he finished every shiur, he gave them notes to remember. A 6-hour lecture of Moshe Rabbeinu, you know how many words he put it into? He put it into one pasuk. When you heard the lecture, you looked at the pasuk. Ah. But here was the brilliance. If you're taking notes of your Rebbe's shiur, you write it to the best of your ability. The notes of the Torah captured the whole shiur in the most perfect, impeccable, flawless way. It couldn't be better.
because the way it was written contained allusions and intimations of every nuance and detail that was said by the Shir. When you read the Pesukim and you heard Moshe Shir, you saw everything. You saw the whole Gemara. You saw it all in the words. Torah Shabbal Peh is not adding pshetlach. It's reconstructing the Shir from the text. It's reconstructing the lectures of Moshe Rabbeinu from the text that he gave us, that Hashem gave us through Moshe, in order to understand Torah. And here we have a classic example. Yiyatayr means it remains pure. Yiyatayr means he becomes pure. But Yiyatayr means a third thing. Achmayim abar mikvamayim Yiyatayr. The word Yiyah doesn't belong here. Yiyah means he will be. It could have said Achmayim abar mikvamayim tahar. Achmayim abar mikvamayim Yitahir. What's Yiyatayr? For this, the Chazal have a new interpretation. Yiyah, which is the word Havaya, Shahakol, Niya, existence, being. Being who Omar Vayehi, Yutke Vofke really is Yahava. He creates, he brings into existence. The Gemara often has an expression, Hoyoi Bahaviyosoi Tehe, it should retain its existence. Ba'amayon, or Bermik, Vamayim, Yiyatayr means the existence, the Yiyah, the Haviya, the creation of the well. Or of the mikveh mayim, yiyatayr, it has to be created through something that's tahor. What does this mean? This brings us to a fascinating law in mikveh that is actually halacha l'maisi. Let's see the law. Mishneh para perik vav mishneh dalet. Alzas vashtandik. It's clear. You're not confused with the mikveh, yeah? It's clear, good. Mishneh para. Now here again, people see mishneh para. Leave me alone. This is not for me. I stay away from paras, and I stay away from Mishnayos para. But that's psychological childhood stuff that you gotta cleanse yourself from. Mishnah para, you can understand, Mikvais, you can understand, Kalim, you can understand. Especially today when they have pictures for everything, we are a visual generation. Zog the Mishnah, listen to this. You need water. For the para aduma, you need water mixed with ashes in order to sprinkle a person or a keli that became tummy through contact with a corpse. You sprinkle on the third day, on the seventh day, they go to the mikveh, and the person is tahor. In order to have this water, it's not enough to have a mikveh. What do you need? You need what's called mayim chayim, the pasuk says. The parashas chukas, the beginning of chukas. The nosin Allah, mayim chayim. What's mayim chayim? How can water be alive? What does it mean, living water, anybody? What's living water? Water, living water means organic water. Water that is, it's alive. You look at the water, mishmaneas, elevedik, it's moving around. Why is it moving around? It's not rainwater that was once moving and now it's just laying in a mikveh. It's a living wellspring, it's flowing, and it doesn't stop flowing. It's a living wellspring that's called living water, mayim chayim. Usually you don't need mayim chayim for a mikveh. A woman goes to a mikveh in the middle of the month, you don't need mayim chayim. You need a mikveh, yitar. Most tumas you don't need mayim chayim. There's a few. A zov needs mayim chayim. Parah aduma needs mayim chayim. Here's the issue. There's a mountain. This is the mission. There's a mountain. And the mountain has a well. On top of the mountain, on the slope of the mountain. And it's flowing. The problem is, you're going to put a keli on the bottom. Right? It's not going to go into the keli. Simply, it's not in that angle. There's no way to position the keli in a way that the water is going to be able to get into the keli. So what do? You have to make a channel to divert the water at some point from the mountain. It should be channeled into your vessel to be able to have para aduma. This is the question. I take my hand or my leg and I stretch it out as a channel. The water is coming down. Look at me. It's going to come on my hand. Instead of going straight down, it'll hit my hand. It'll go through my hand and then it'll go into a chavis. It'll go into a vessel. Or I use my leg. Or I use any channel. Ala yirakos. I use vegetable leaves. Kidei sheyavru hamayim l'chavis. So that the water should pass into a barrel. Sulin. The water is not good. What did I do? Ala konin v'ala yegois. If I use leaves of reeds. Or of walnuts. Kshem. Why is that? Well, dover shum makabal tum apostle. V'she'ene makabal tum akashem. If you're using something that's susceptible to tumah as a channel for the well water, it's kosher. If not, it's not kosher. What does this mean and why? So the Gemara explains this. Zvachim dav chafei amid beis minan amili. How does the Mishnah know this? And this is always the classic question. Minan amili. No one invents halacha. This doesn't work. Where do they get this from? Did Moshe say this in the Shia? So here's it in the text. Show it to me in the text. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, the Mishnah Rabbi Yosi bar Abba. Omer Kra, the pasuk says, Achbar mayim lebar mikve mayim yitar. What's yitar? Havi yason al yedei tar atehet. The way to create a mikveh is only through something that's completely pure. My arm or leg, can it become tamei? Of course, even if it's not tamei, it could become tamei. If the water passes through that, and that's the way it got into the barrel, so the haviyah, the creation of this barrel with water, is what? Through something that's makabel tumah? It's not good. That's why if I use leaves of vegetables, they're edible. Anything that's edible is makabel tumah. If you use leaves of reeds or walnuts, it's not edible. If it's not edible, it's not makabel tumah. Only foods that are edible are susceptible to tumah once they're detached from their roots. If they're still on the tree, they're never makabel tumah. Once they're gone, and there's a heksher, it becomes wet. After that, it's makabel tumah. That's the explanation of this mission. Says the Bar Tanura, Rabbeinu Evagim Bar Tanura on the Mishnah in Parah Perek Vav Mishnah Dalet, he explains, Nasan Yad Eirangle, let's read what he says. Harishahoya Kilu Achirin Me'arma Ukam, a flow is coming down from a slanted mountain. If it would be a straight mountain, so then you put the barrel on the bottom and you get the water. But it's slanted, it's crooked. The Eime Yoyed Mukam is crooked. The Eime Yoyed Lotechachavas. There's no way, it's not coming straight into the barrel. Shiraisal Maloisal Kiddush, which you want to fill up. This doesn't mean to make Kiddush, you want to fill it up to sanctify the water with the ashes of the Paradum. So you place your hand above the top of the mountain to create a channel in order to get the water through your hand. You're going to divert the water into the jug. Or you use vegetable leaves, which are edible and susceptible to tumah, psulim ha-mayim. Kedi al-pinah mepeiru beiz nizvachim ediksiv mikve mayim yi yitoyer avi yosun ha-idei paratehei. Yi yitoyer teaches that the creation of a source of water that purifies has to be through tahar, through something that is essentially tahar. My arm or leg are disqualified. This pasuk says by mikveh, we learn out all creations of sources of water that cleanse has to be through tahir. This is how you have to understand the pasuk. Any water that's going to be served as a source of purity, it has to be created, it has to come into being through something that's tahir. Bein shata mahava oisam liyas mikva oimiwi. Hare mahava mahava oisam aide dovashen makabotum. Whether you're creating it to be a mikva, a regular mikva, rainwater, or a wellspring, or filling up a barrel for the paraduma ashes, only through something that's not makabotum. This is a Mishnah in Parah, a source for Shmini. So this pasuk Yitayr teaches us, number one, water, mikveh remains pure. Number two, it purifies people or vessels. Number three, it has to be created through something that's tahir. There's another Mishnah in Masechta Mikvayis, which really presents the same halacha concerning a regular mikveh, and a fascinating halacha that's actually very practical till today when we don't have a Parah Aduma. Mikvayis Perek Hei Mishnah Hei, this is source number 9. Yes? The halacha is, there's a difference between a wellspring and a mikveh of rainwater, or of a wellspring that's not anymore alive. And that is, you know one of the big differences is? A mayam is metahir b'zoichalim. A wellspring flows, it's alive, and that's fine. A mikveh has to be ba'ashboirin, it has to be gathered in one place. If you have a regular mikveh that we use with rainwater, and we do the process called hashaka, which is another way of connecting. You connect the top water to the rainwater, they kiss each other, and it purifies the rainwater. And if that mikveh is not ba'ashboirin, it's not gathered in one place, it's zoichel, and it's flowing, so it's not kosher as a mikveh. This is also learned out from the pasuk, the ach, the mayim, the mikveh mayim, but that's beyond our discussion today. Here is the problem. Noitfin is reference to a mikveh, the water that drips down and comes into the pit. Zoichalin is a wellspring. Noitfin, shason zoichalin. What happens is, let's say the top, the rim, the edge of the mikveh breaks and the water starts flowing. There's nothing to hold the water in one place, so the water is now flowing. And your person goes into the mikveh. Zav the Mishnah Soymech Afilu Makal Afilu Kama Afilu Zav Zav Yoyed V'Toybul Dibur Rabbi Yehuda. I don't care what you put there. Put your foot. Put your hand. Put a stick. Just stop the flow artificially. Stop the flow. Stop the water from going out. Keep the water in one place for 2 minutes. Let the person, let the woman go down, and come go away. Dibur Rabbi Rabbi Yosiyomino Kol Dover Shul Mekabel Tuma Ein Maschilin Bo. There's no way that you can hold up the flow of mikveh from something that's mekabel tumah. You put your foot there, that's what's making the mikveh, because that's what's making the mikveh kosher. It's obstructing the zoichalin, it's obstructing the flow, it's not a good mikveh. You have to put something that's not mekabel tumah. By the way, Rabbeinu Shimshon Rishans in his commentary on Mishnayos, said, even Rabbi Yehuda would agree with this in principle. In Parah, nobody argues. Even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that to create a mikveh, you need something that's kosher. Here, Rabbi Yehuda argues, you're not creating a mikveh through your life. You have a mikveh. It's a kosher mikveh. There's a problem. The problem is, it's flowing. Your leg is being used simply to stop the flow. Rabbi Yehuda here argues. The halacha is still like Rabbi Yossi. The halacha is still like Rabbi Yossi. You can't use something, the kabel tumah, to make your mikveh, or even to fix your mikveh, or to avoid problems in your mikveh. Charles Tshubas, Derechagov, Charles Tshubas has some cipher, a Moshe cipher has a tshuva in Yeridea, in the laws of Mikveh, Simen Reish Dalit. Somebody criticizes a psak of the Noi Debi Yehuda. The Noi Debi Yehuda was a Rav of Prague, in Becheska Landau in the 18th century. It's from the Goyne Hador. The Noi Debi Yehuda has in Charles Tshubas, Noi Debi Yehuda, Tinyana, there's a question over there. Somebody had a mikveh. The mikveh on the bottom had wood. It was a wooden floor, fine, and it's a good mikveh. The problem is ultimately they realized that the water is going to leak out, or it's going to erode the wood, and it's going to become less than 40 saw. So a person went, and what did he do? He banged in a bunch of nails. He banged in a bunch of metal nails to hold the wood together, to make it tight, to make it very, waterproof, or that the water shouldn't leave, so it should be a kosher mikveh. So somebody came to the neighbor and said, this is a pasul mikveh. Why is it a pasul mikveh? Are nails, metal nails, makabel tumah? Yeah. Clay matches, even pshutim, are makabel tumah. Clay aids, if it's wooden vessels, it has to have a receptacle. It has to have a cavity. If it's matches, if it's metal, it could be a flat tablet, has no receptacle whatsoever. A nail, it's makabel tumah. All clay matches, all types of metals, all metals are makabel tumah. So he says, what's holding the water in the mikveh? Nails. Nails are makabel tumah. This destroys your mikveh. The Noida Behuda paskin that it's kosher. When you're a rab, you have to deal with these things, right? You didn't think of it. There's a nail. It's not tumah. It's makabel tumah. It's makabel tumah. It's like your arm, it's your leg. The Noida Behuda kasher the mikveh. Somebody criticizes it to the Chasam Sofer from a sphere of Arashitas Rabbeinu Tam and Sukkah. Af Yud with Pirus Aleh Sasodin. If you put a blanket on the schach, he proved from a Toitzmiz that Noida Behuda was wrong. The Chasam Sofer goes and proves that the person made a big mistake in the comparison, the Noida Behuda is right. And the reason why the Behuda is right is because some says this is not called creating the mikveh. It's not even called avoiding that the mikveh shouldn't flow. What it's doing is that in the future, the water shouldn't leak and become less than them. So he says that's not called creating the mikveh through something that's makabel tumah. Making the mikveh kosher today through something that's makabel tumah, and therefore both the Noida Behuda and then the Chasam Sofer and the next generation validated the psak. I just wanted to give you a contemporary example of this discussion in Mishnayos Torah and Mishnayos Mikvos. How in the world did we get into this from discussing the stick of Aaron that Moshe Rabbeinu took in order to give the Jewish people water? Comes the Rabbi Shomer and goes to the next step. He says, I have a question for you. The Jews needed a mikveh in the desert? They didn't need a mikveh in the desert. Of course. A Jew needs a mikveh. First of all, you have Kanaim. You have people that became Kanaim. Never mind Kanaim. Any Jew. All types of Kanaim. Besides that, every single month. For family life, right? Under normal circumstances, the woman needs a mikveh. And then there's all the other tumas that exist. A mitzairah. Miriam was also a mitzairah. You have a zav. You have zava. In addition to nida. All the sources. You have, of course, tumas mace. That's a major tumah. There were no hospitals in the midbar. Although actually over there the people died differently. The Gemara says in Tainus how they went into their grave. So I take that back. But whatever the tumas, did you need a mikveh in the desert? Of course. What did they use for a mikveh in the desert? What did they use? And the Rekha Kadarka says, look in Toysus Khairas Dafnunva. Look up Toysus Khairas Dafnunva. What does he prove from there? That his question is a valid question. Toysus asks there, the Gemara says that there's an opinion that all rivers you cannot use for Mayim Chayim, even though rivers usually have springs that the water comes from. Why? Because it's mostly rainwater. And rainwater is not Mayim Chayim. And if the majority of the river is made from rainwater, it swells from rainwater besides Nahar Pras, besides the Euphrates River in the month of Tishrei. It's a whole sugya in Gemara. It's not for now. So Taisvis asks a question. If so, how did they make the ashes for the Paradum in the desert? He says, in the desert, they were not near the Euphrates River. The Euphrates River is where? You know where the Euphrates River is. It's in Iraq. It's pretty far from the Sinai Desert. By airplane, it's not that far. But we assume that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't send people on the clouds to go get water from the Euphrates River for the ashes of the Parah Adumah. You need Mayim Chayim. Taisvah says, you have Amit Soyer needs Mayim Chayim. Azov needs Mayim Chayim. Some people say Azov needs Mayim Chayim. That's a debate among the Rishonim. It's not clear. Where did they get it? Where did they get it? So the Rekha says, you see, there's an issue about mikveh in the desert. They needed a mikveh. So I'm asking, how did they have a mikveh? Okay, so if they were traveling in places where there's a river, so at least according to many opinions, a river could be used, certainly if you don't need mayim chayim, rainwater, or a sea. That is a big question, if you need mayim chayim, if you could use it or not use it. There's, of course, a big question, can you use a river because it's zoichal and it flows? Right? And if it's flowing, how can you use it? I mean, these are big questions. The Ramban, Shulchan Aruch, in Yeridei Simen, Reish, Aleph, Hilchas Mekoyis discusses this at length. Can a woman today use a sea? Can a woman use a river which has flowing water? If the majority is rainwater, then it's a mikveh, can be zoichalit. However, if most rivers come from well springs could be zoichalit. And there's a big machlekes about it, although he says the minig is to be lenient, certainly b'shas hatchak when there's nothing else. That's a whole very rich and fascinating discussion about the status of those mikvehs. But what did they do in the midbar? They needed a mikveh. Oh, so they had what? Be'er shomer. What's Be'er shomer? Be'er shomer was a rock. You can't go to the mikveh in a rock. But the pshat is, of course, Be'er Shel Miriam produced water. It flowed with water. Everyone had water. And they didn't all have to fight over the rock. Have 4 million people fighting over a rock, you understand what the matzah would be. There would be a revolt, not every Monday and Thursday, there would be a revolt every hour on the hour. You see, they complained a few times about water, not endlessly. Because the rock was a source, but from there the water flowed, and it can go into channels, and it can go into cisterns, and it can go into barrels, and it can go into pits, and it can go into bathtubs, or whatever the situation there was in the midbar. I assume it was not that grand in this particular area. They had other amenities, but not the water system that we have today in the 21st century. Comes the Rebbe Chavra and says, now let's think about this. A river they didn't have here. They didn't have any water. There's absolutely no water. So they come to Moshe Rabbeinu, and they ask for water. Moshe gives them water from the rock. So what becomes their source for water? The rock. What becomes their source for mikveh? The rock. The rock becomes their source for mikveh. I assume what he means, the water is flowing from the rock. They fill it into a pit. That pit is confined, it's closed off. It's used as a mikveh for wherever it needs a mikveh. Tosfos asks a question, how do they have Mayim Chayim? And Tosfos struggles with this. It's not Pashut, how do they have Mayim Chayim? Why doesn't Tosfos answer the Be'er Shel Miriam? The answer is what? What's the answer? It's a rock! The water came from the well! But once you fill it up in a pit, it's not a living well anymore. A living well means, you ever went to the Arizal's mikveh, right? The Arizal's mikveh, it's a flowing well. You see, the water is coming out of under the earth. Elamai, they built a mikveh there. I have a friend, he's a Chabad rabbi of Penafly, New Jersey. His name is Rabbi Mordechai Shein. So I once went there for a Shabbos, and I went to the mikveh Shabbos morning. I said, not the mikveh. Besides the cleanliness, it had a different feel. So I asked him, what's Manishtana, what makes your mikveh different than any other mikveh I went to? So he said when he was digging for a mikveh, Mamish, they were digging, they came across a living, vibrant, pulsating, strong well. Pushed the wellspring that was underground and was flowing with water. So he built this cavity around that well. So he says, you're in Mamish Amayim Chaim, and then now he warms it up also. But it's Mamish, there's no Ashaka, there's no Zriya. The water itself is Mayim Chaim. I went last year, I traveled to Mezhegorsh in the Ukraine. So there's a story that the Tolbis Yaakov Yosef was a student of the Baal Shem Tov, Rabbi Yaakov Yosef of Polno. Right. The Tolbis Yaakov Yosef was from the great Rabbonim of his time. He was a Gaon Olam Enigma. And he is actually wrote the first Sefer of Chassidus that was published, Tolbis Yaakov Yosef on Chumash. Rabbi Yaakov Yosef of Polno. So he writes a Maisa. The Baal Shem Tov had a custom, he used to take many walks with himself, or usually with a student or many students. If you've ever been to Mezhegorsh, around Mezhegorsh, Mezhegorsh is a little town. I don't even think there's one Jew left in Mezhegorsh. There's visitors, but I don't think there's a Jewish resident. And around Mezhegorsh, there's a lot of forests. The Baal Shem Tov would take walks. Generally, as a child, he already loved forests. He loved his boydadus, he loved being himself with nature, with Hashem. And once the Baal Shem Tov was taking a walk with the Tolbis Yaakov Yosef. And they got involved in conversation or tefillah or avoda, whatever it was. And the Baal Shem Tov suddenly realizes that it's soon going to be sunset. And he didn't have a minchiyat. To go back to the city, to go back to the Beis Medrash, he would miss this man of mincha. So they had to have a mincha right there, which is fine. You could have a mincha right there. But the Baal Shem Tov tells the Tolbis, let's find water to wash our hands before davening. So they search for water. Ein mayim be'leid. There's absolutely no water. They look here, they look there. To go back to a source of water, usually you have an halacha, arba mil, machoyne mil, in front of you, in back of you, you go for water. But here the problem was time. You're going to go search for water, you're going to miss mincha. The Baal Shem Tov was very distraught. The Tolbis Yaakov Yosef said, the Baal Shem Tov turned to Hashem and he said, Ribbono Shel Olam, you know the truth. As I bich kenish vashi, meine hand fired out in the mincha, is toiv moisi mechayim. If I can't wash my hands before davening mincha, then I feel that my life is worthless. My life here in this world is worthless. The Tolbis Yaakov Yosef says that he saw a few moments later, 3 steps from the Baal Shem Tov, he sees a flow of water. He tells the Baal Shem Tov, the Baal Shem Tov, and that was mincha. This story he records. When I went to Mezhegorsh, outside of the city, we were traveling there, and there's a well in one of the fields, and I see the Gentiles are coming there. They're coming there to take water. It's a little well that flows in one of the fields. So I asked Rabbi Gabai. Gabai is the one he's in charge of all the quantum over there. So he tells me that it's Makubal, that this is the well. It's outside of Mezhegorsh in the forest. This is the well that was created then when the Baal Shem Tov said this. And for hundreds of years, the Gentiles who live here, whenever somebody is sick, they bring him here to go into the well, to drink water from the well. And they call it, I wrote down the name, they have a name for this well in the Ukraine. They say they call it Rabinova Krinitsa. The well of the Rebbe. The wellspring of the Rebbe, the Baal Shem Tov's well. And when I was there, he finished putting up a mikveh, a building. He took that well and he diverted part of it into a mikveh. And he just finished building the well. So I went into the mikveh. I have to tell you, if you ever went to the Arizal's mikveh in Sfas, people think it's cold. The Arizal's mikveh is hot. It's hot. Mamish, boiling hot. We have this mikveh. It was so cold that I felt if I'm there for an extra second, I pushed, you know, my body was like shock. I'm there, how freezing it was. It was also winter, that didn't help. It was Tavis time. I went in, I jumped out, and that was the mikveh. That was the mikveh. And it's a fascinating mikveh. He told me they checked out the mikveh, the properties of that, of the well. I mean, a fascinating well. The properties of the well is they thought it's a very weak well. And then they searched that the flow is mummish very, very powerful. Tolbis Yaakov Yosef said, that people praise the Baal Shem Tov, he made miracles. Everyone knows that all of his miracles are Shemayim Lefi'erech, there's Yirah Shemayim. The Baal Shem Tov was Yirah Shemayim, his Dveikus with Hashem, that was the Baal Shem Tov. That's what the greatest miracle was. That a Yid has this feeling. that if he can't daven a mincha the way it says in Shulchan Aruch, so his life is purposeless. He says that was the Baal Shem. Okay, so back to our desert. We have a different type of story, maybe not such a different type of story. Hashem tells Moshe to create the well from the rock, a mahata mikvah. Now, here's the punchline. What does Moshe use to get the water out of the rock? Which stick? Stick of iron. A wooden stick. What's the issue? It's mekabel tuma. If it's mekabel tuma, achbay mayim avor mikveh mayim yiyetor. Madoch! If a mikveh is kosher and full, it's just the top of the wall broke off and it's flowing. And you stop it with your hand. You didn't make the mikveh with your hand. You stop the water. Comes Rabbi Yossi and says, it's not a kosher mikveh. You have well spring water that's flowing from the mountain. You're not making the water, it's flowing. You're just diverting the water into the vessel, into the jar. Comes the Mishnah Bar and says, what? It's possible. Because you got the water through your arm and leg as Makabotum. Ask the Nukat Shavit. You use the stick to get the water. The water now comes out from the stick. You now fill it up in a mikveh. Is it a kosher mikveh? Not a kosher mikveh. Not a kosher mikveh. It's Makabotum. It doesn't have to be Tomei. It's Makabotum. Your arm is not Tomei. Clay kibble. Clay kibble. The stick. Produced. That's what he's saying. Kachas hamata. Kachas hamata. What's hamata? Vayikachas hamata min lifne Hashem. He took him out there. So what happens? Says Rav Shover, there was no mikveh for women to use. That time, there was no mikveh for women to use, whatever the time period was, because it was mekabel tuma. Now, so what happens? So there's no mikveh. So he says, take a look at another Gemara. Zog the Gemara, source number 10, Yud. Shabbos, Daf Kuf Nun Beis Amin Aleph. Amalei Rebbe, Lev Shimon Ben Chalafta. Rebbe tells Rebbe Shimon Ben Chalafta, Rebbe Yudanas, why don't you come see me during Yom Tov, Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkos, like your parents, like your fathers came to see my fathers? Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi came from the dynasty of the Jewish Nesiim, the Jewish leaders. It's a mitzvah to go visit your Rebbe on Yom Tov. Rebbe says, why don't you come visit me on Yom Tov, like your father used to come to my father? He says it in a humble way. He says, why didn't we come to see you on Yom Tov? He means, why didn't you come to see me on Yom Tov? Amar Lo, listen to the expression. Rav Shimon Ben Chalafta tells Rebbe, today we would say, oh, version out. But let's hear how Rav Shimon Ben Chalafta said it. He says, listen, Sloyim Nasu Goyim. The rocks became tall. Kroyim Nasu Rechoykim. Close locations became distant. Mishtayim Nasu Sholesh. Two legs were turned into three. I have a cane. Mesim shalom babayis bottle. And that which used to create peace in the home doesn't exist anymore. Basically, I had to climb over rocks. I'm an old man. There was what was once small rocks, and now tall mountains. I can't get over it. The next thing is, close distances are far. I could walk a mile, 5 miles, 10 miles without blinking. Today I have to stop every 5 minutes. The next problem is I used to have two legs, now I have three legs, and they all take off kaponis. Two legs with a cane. And then the last thing is, I don't have any more shalom bayis like I used to have, so I can't leave the house. I can't leave the house. Say the mefarshim, the yaivets and others, leaving the house is traumatic for a woman. Men today don't realize this. The Gemara says in Yevamah Samach Beis, Chayav Adam Lifka Desishti B'Shashi Yotzila Derek. Before a person leaves the house, he has to be together with his wife, his husband and wife. Elishek Shekos says the great craving of a woman to her husband is when he's away from the house. That's why your wife texts you, when are you coming home? I can't just leave the house on Yom Tov to go to you. I can't. If I would have had good shalom bayis, You have good shalom bayis. You tell your wife, I want to go visit the Yehuda Anasi. I want to go shteig for a few days chalamayit. No problem. I'll tell my father to take one of the chalamayit trips to Six Flags. But I don't have any more the same shalom bayis. So b'meila, I can't leave anyway. I have to spend time with my wife. Says Rashi, what's pshat? So Rashi, mason shalom bayis, aver tashash. That which I used to have in order to have shalom bayis, I don't have anymore because of my age. There's no physical relationship anymore. Comes to Rabbi Chavra and says, that's Mei Meriva. Mei Meriva are the waters that created a lack of shalom bayis because there was no mikveh for that period. Because there was no mikveh for that time, so the woman could not go to the mikveh, it compromised the relationship and the atmosphere and the peace and the harmony and the love and the affection and the hope. That's Mei Meriva, the waters that caused strife in Jewish homes between couples. Mason Shalom Abayis bottled. How long the period was, it's unclear from Chumash. But as long as they had that stick to use as the source of the mikveh, it compromises Yitar, and this is the issue of Mei Meriva. I was thinking to myself, perhaps, this is how we would explain what Hashem tells Moshe. Yan lo ye'emantem bi, lahakdisheini le'enei bnei Yisrael. As a result of this, you haven't sanctified me among the eyes of the Jewish people. What in the world is the connection, lahakdisheini le'enei bnei Yisrael? Take a look, perhaps, source 12, soite daf yitzayin amir alav dorash Rabbi Akiva, ish v'isha zachu, Shechina b'neihem. If a man and a woman are married, and Rashi says, what does it mean, Zachu? Shelo yehu noyef v'hino yefes. They're loyal to each other. You have the Shechina. Why do you have the Shechina? You have a husband and a wife. Where do you have the Shechina? Zok Rashi, Shechina b'neihem, sharei cholak eshmoi, v'shichnoi b'neihem, yud v'ish v'hei v'isha. Hashem split up his name. You're missing Shem Hashem. He has the Yud, she has the Hey. The only way you can get Hashem's name back is if you bring them together, you have the Yud and the Hey. If you don't bring them together, you split up the Yud from the Hey. Comes the Maharal, and the Maharal says the next words, Be'er Agoy LaMaharal Be'er Dalit. And this Maharal is really a great Yisoid. Oy Yesh L'Chaladas, you should know a Klal. Ein Zivu Ka'adam Tivi. Marriage and intimacy is not natural. Rakhu min Hashem yizvorech hachibur v'hazivuk. Men and women are opposites. People are different. Everyone has, I'm imposing my words on the Maharal, everyone has mishagasin. Everyone has idiosyncrasies. You have friction. Good morning, America. The Maharal also knew about it. You have issues, shalom bayis. We know it's not natural. The Rebbei Neshaloylam creates the zivuk. Lachtach beish veisha yashen yudke hayud beish vahe beisha lufisha hu yizbarach mechaberos. If not, you have eish and eish, fire, fire. You want an eish and a isha, husband and a wife. Kim yish lekuch hazois. You need a relationship with God. I think what the Maharal is saying in very practical English means, if the husband and the wife don't have something that they both respect that transcends their individual ego and identity, friction will be very likely and very natural. A relationship with Hashem doesn't mean a verbal relationship with Hashem. You call yourself religious. You can be very religious and have horrible shalom bayis. A relationship with Hashem means a real relationship. A real relationship means that you recognize the value of another person. You create space for another person. You realize that you may be not in my image, but you're still in Hashem's image. And when both of them have a respect for something transcendent, a respect for the sacred institution of marriage that goes beyond my individual ego or needs or insecurities, this is the success of a marriage. When there's no mikveh, and they're not husband and wife, zachu, so lahakdisheni leinei bnei Yisrael, the yud and the hey don't come together, as he brings from the Gemara, Meisim Sholom Babayis, is bottled. According to this Rekha Chavar, we have an astounding interpretation of the pasuk of the story. The whole reason why Moshe Rabbeinu does not go into Eretz Yisrael is because he compromised Kivayachal on what? On Shalom Bayis. On peace and harmony in Jewish homes. Sometimes you come to a person and you say you have to work on your Shalom Bayis. You need to create a home that's respectful, that's loving, that's peaceful. And I have more important things to do. There's a lot greater priorities in life. I can't stay home. I have this shiur, I have this schedule, I have this deadline, I have this bar mitzvah, I have this chasen, I have this kabbalah sponim, I have this reception, I have this dinner. And if I don't come to it, the person won't speak to me for 25 years. But what do we see from here? Moshe Rabbeinu, Avi HaNeviim, Muf Nivcha Min Enoshim. The whole destiny and promise to go into Eretz Yisrael was compromised and shattered. Why? Because as Hussum said, inadvertently, Shalom Bayis was affected by the lack of the ability for the husband and the wife to live together as a couple in a home. Meisim Shalom Bayis Bottle. Somebody once asked his Rebbe, if Shalom Bayis is so important, why is there no tefillah for it in Shmoneh Esrei? Why do you daven for it in Shmoneh Esrei? He says, you do every day. B'nafshi ka'ofar la'kol tiyeh. That's a tefillah for Shalom Bayis. Gik is up. My soul should be humble. Ka'ofar la'kol tiyeh. Know when to react, know when not to react. Learn how to listen to criticism. You won't know. So now in summation, Hashem says, kaches hamateh. What does he take? He takes Aaron's stick. Who is with him? Aaron is with him. He goes into Kodesh HaKadoshim, takes out the stick. It has to be struck. Hashem says, take the stick. Not to speak to it, also to strike it. That's how the Rosh Hashanah learns, probably. As a result of that, the water never becomes a mikveh because it's a dover amakabal tuma. And as a result of that, we call it main meriva, the waters of strife. Let's see now the words of the Rosh Hashanah inside. It's only a few lines, Kedarkoi. Let's read it inside. But let's understand where the mistake was. Okay, let's read it inside, and it'll become clear. Source the other. Turn the other side. Shilas Tezai 60. Shilas of Shuvas Tufnas Paneach New York Synagogue Yitzchak Oizayim. I'm going to read this fast. Ubedemech Drush Yesh Lavaya Get the Name Riva. We can explain one of the explanations in the definition of Meir Riva. The Hina Yibikrok Siv, the Moshe Loka Chamatim Lefnei Hashem Kasher Tzivo, the Loi Noka Kimoy Vlad Levisha Salaz, the Kasher Tzivo, Hashem. It says Kasher Tzivo, it doesn't say like Hashem commanded. Ach, kach, this is it. The Be'emnes Moshe Rabbeinu Pirish HaNavur Shenemre Loi Daka, Vona Amatik Aaron the Hoyer Shalates. Moshe understood the prophecy that it's the stick of Aaron which was made from wood. The in came Rabbi Yosi, the Sri Levi Mekoyas Peter came Mishnei. That he gave Rama Kabbal Tumah Nistol Kolamayan. Rabbi Yosi, you hold in the Koyas that if you use something that's Makabbal Tumah, the whole mikveh, the whole wellspring becomes possible, as we explained. But I'm Shabbos, Daf Samach Bo, Daf Kufchav Gimel, on the Bey, the Kalam, the Koyas Bazaar. The Shabbos, Daf Kufchav Gimel, is about the stick that has a clay kibbal on the top. I did not understand the reference to Shabbos, Daf Samach Bo. And it could be, it has Epison Paimek over there with explaining, it's about clay, it's probably about the issue of clay cable. Kupchav Gimel speaks about a cane that has a kesher on the top, and therefore it's Makabal Tuma. And apparently he learns that that's the proof that Matash Alano was Makabal Tuma. They don't have a place to go to the mikveh. Go to Tosfos prayers where he struggles how the Jews had Mayim Chaim in the desert. The Ayn Shabbos Daf Kufnun Beis Amid Aleph, the Shalom Babayis Bottle. You have to figure this all out. In Shabbos it says that without a relationship, there's missing Shalom Bayis. V'zeh loshen miriva shel b'nei Yisrael. That's miriva. The fights among Jews, among husbands and wives. What did it mean, the fights? There was a lack of peace. Well, l'kach nenash. And therefore he was punished. What's the problem? Listen to this. The be'emes hoya kavon el yoin al mate shel Moshe. Kach es hamate men, take your stick. Da have shel sampirim. Moshe's stick was made out of what? Sapphire. The Hu'eben. It's a rock. The Enim Akabal Tuma. Take a look in Source 15, the top of the page, the same side. Rambam, Hilchas, Kalim, Perik, Alev, Allah, Chazai. Klei Glolim, Klei Adoma, Klei Avonim, Tohirim, Lo'oilam, Bein, Mekabal, Tumim, Min Atumas, Lo'i Tumas, Medris, Limit, Divri, Torah, Limit, Divri, Soifnim, Bein, Shutayim, Bein, Mekabal, Ayen. If you have vessels made out of stone, rock, you have vessels made out of dung, you have vessels made out of earth. You take earth, you make a vessel out of it. You don't bake it in the oven or in the sun. That's called clay cheres. You just take earth and you make a keli. It's very cheap, and therefore it's not mekabel tuma ever. Not poshet, not clay cable, never. Moshe's stick is not susceptible to tuma. If Moshe's stick would make the water, it would make the mikveh. It would be higher time. Ulekach nokat tzivo, that's why it says, he took the stick, not kasher tzivo Hashem. Kasher tzivo hu. Ritzayin eloimar dehu, Moshe Rabbeinu pirish ken hakavona. Kasher tzivo hu. The way he was commanded in his own mind. He explained the command. Kasher tzivo Hashem would mean, that's actually what Hashem said. It's not what Hashem said. It's the way he explained what Hashem said. Kasher tzivo hu, the way he commanded him. Not Kasher Tziva Hashem. Now is a simple question. God, next time just say it clearly. Say, Kach Matan Moshe, what do you want? So he says something very deep. It's a very deep, deep idea. I'm not sure. Let's see what he says. Well, the Kach Memele B'loshim Zeh. The reason he says it in this term is, the Nevuas Moshe Hu HaMetzias V'HaEtzem. Moshe's prophecy is unlike any other prophecy. There's no interpretations in his prophecy. The pasuk says in Baaloischa, the Rambam says in Hilchos Yisaydi Atariya Perek Zayin, Moshe has a perspective of Kivayachal, Hashem's energy, Hashem's presence in its pure, undiluted form. The Etzem, the Metzias. It's not in riddles, it's not in metaphors, it's not in dreams, it's not in visions, it's not in parables, it's not in illustrations. It's the Etzem, it's the core reality. Umachma Shekein Hoya HaMetzias Kein Amalai. So therefore, his Nebuah experience, the way it is in its source, the source was Kaches Hamata. This, by Moshe, there's no diluting the prophecy in any way. This is what he hears. The interpretation is what? The matah of Aaron, really the matah of Moshe. The mikveh becomes tamei. There's no mikveh actually. He attired, and therefore it is made miriv. This is a shalos tshuvos. In his commentary on Chumash, which is much more cryptic, he adds two lines, which gives another twist to this. Let's see source Yotzayim. Let's see source Yotzayim. By the way, what's the source that Moshe's stick was made out of? Out of stone. It's Aaron's stick, it says it was eights, as we learned before. So I found in Yudalit, source for the Mechilta B'Shalach, Amru HaMata HaZeh Shal Sam Peter Nebu. Moshe's stick is made of sapphire, it's not Mechalot. Take a look, Yotzayim, Kachas HaMata. I'm going to read this very fast. Hine, Mar Yotzayim Eloymar, Es HaMata. The Gemara says when it says Hazroya, Hayerech, Ha'oyla, it's the prominent one, the distinguished one, the right side, the chashuv one. Well, the chen darash Moshe Rabbeinu, Hamata, the stick, the great stick. It's only like Mashal Aaron. For sure, it's Aaron's. Why? Hashahaya b'kodesh kadosh u'lifnei Hashem. Can we boil up? Parshas Koyach. It's in front of Hashem. It was really Moshe's stick that really meant. Being came, if so, Moshe wasn't allowed to go into Kodesh HaKadosh to take out Aaron's stick. He wasn't allowed to go in. The Gam Karka Safdi, I also wrote, he probably means the Shuva, but I'm not sure, that Ibeza and if so, am I in the Tvila. As a result, the water became disqualified for going to the Mikvah. The Zerit, so you know, my main Miriva. And he expects, really, a person to understand all this. And that's why it's made Meriba. This is the sin. I'm Mikvayis Peyed Vav Mosev Osi Shapir. Look at Mikvayis chapter 6. You'll figure it out. Thank God he wrote a tshuva. And he wrote a few more words what he means. Either this is Mikvayis Peyed Hey, or it's part of Peyed Vav. The Kachomer wrote everything from memory. But he could be forgiven. Either it's Mekoyis Pedek Hei, or it's part of Pedek Vav. I don't think it's Mekoyis Pedek Vav, because one mission is Mekoyis Hei. That's the mission of Rabbi Yossi, if you stop the Zeichelin with your leg. And part of Pedek Vav is about the water that flows down the mountain. So either he means one of the two, could be Mekoyis Pedek Hei. Okay. The Toysis Koyis Dafnun Vav, Ein Shambaz, where he struggles, how the Jews had Mayim Chai. Now he adds a shtickle that he didn't do in Shalos Hashuvos. Ein Rambam Hilchos Malachim. Take a look at Rambam Hilchos Malachim, the Sevilla. The Melech Oymed Lufnei Kohen Gadol Ansha. The Rambam has a shita that when a Melech and the Kohen Gadol meet, who gets up for whom? The Melech stands up in front of the Kohen Gadol. He brings in the source. It says about Yeshua, Lufnei Elazar HaKohen Yamoy. Where? In Parshas Pinchas. Taitches the Rambam. What's Yamoy? Not he stands. He stands up in front of Elazar. What is the Rekha Tova saying? Moshe is the Melech. By he Bishurun, Melech Hazal say he was the king. Who is the Kohen Gadol? Aaron. Who stands up in front of who? Moshe has to stand in front of the Kohen Gadol. So when Hashem says, Kachet Hamate, it's the king or the Kohen Gadol? The Kohen Gadol. This is Moshe's Cheshbon. Of course, Moshe learned Rambam, as you know. Rabbeinu Moshe, the Moshe Vad Moshe, Lekom, Ke Moshe. Right? But I'm a Hori is that you praise the sight of that man. Made him of all the hate. But if you look in Hori is some sight over there, the intimation is the opposite. The Melech is more important than the Kohen Gadol. The Sikri Parshas Pinchas, there, the Kohen Gadol is more important than the Melech. But besides the point, the Gam Lamanda with the Moshe Gam King Kohen Gadol Ava and Zvachim Daf Kuv Beis. There's a view in the Sechta Zvachim that Moshe was a Kohen Gadol. So Moshe was a king and a Kohen Gadol. So the Kohen Gadol can't be more important than him. He's a whole. This is not the place to elaborate. No kidding. So either we have two issues. Number one is sometimes the Kohen Gadol is more prominent, but sometimes the Melech is more prominent. But in this case, it's almost irrelevant according to the view that Moshe is both. So he says, "Machmas anovish from Moshe Rabbeinu, chashav sheshal Aaron u'amokh." Here is where the humility of Moshe Rabbeinu comes into play. He assumes kaches hamata. It's not his stick, it's his brother's iron stick. And he adds a shocking conclusion. V'zeh begeder ambasnusoy, shal Reb Zecharia ben Afkilas begitin daf nunvov amen alef. It's like, whoa, what is he talking about? The Gemara says there's a story, the famous story of Sugyo Kamsa Bakamsa, gitin perik hanazokin daf nunvov. The Jewish informer goes to Rome and says, Margu b'chayu hudayi, the Jews rebelled against you. Send the offering and you'll see they won't sacrifice it. The king sends the calf and the Jew comes and what does he do? He blemishes it. A mum that they cannot accept it if it's a Gentile carbon. L'didu ha'vamuna, l'dukin shabayin, he makes a blemish by the eye. Come the chachamim, the chazal, living at the end of Bayesheni, they have her a carbon from the Caesar of Rome, the emperor of Rome. And they say, you have to be at Makrib. You know why? You're not allowed to, but it's Pikuach Nefesh. It's Pikuach Nefesh of the whole nation. Comes Reb Zecharia ben Afkilas, who was one of the great sages of that era. This is the end of Bayesheni, around 70 Common Era, a few years before. And he says, you're going to make, Yoimru, people are going to say, you could be Makrib Omo. You could offer a blemished carbon. They say, you have a point. We have one more Asa. What you do with a real Moser who wants to destroy the whole nation, you gotta eliminate him. You gotta eliminate him. We have to kill the Moser. Chavon HaSos says you can't kill him. People are gonna say that for making a blemish in an animal, in a carbon, you have a death penalty. It's wrong. It's unethical. You can't kill him. And you can't be at Makriv. He was speaking halacha, shulchan aruch, ethics, v'dav zayin gleich. Zog the Gemara, source 18, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan said, it's very sad and very powerful words. An vasnusoy shad abscharia ben afkilas hechriva es beiseinu sarfa seichaleinu iglisonu me'arsen. The anova, the humility, the piety, the kutzkeit of abscharia ben afkilas destroyed our home, burnt our heichal, our chamber, and exiled us from our land. What is Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai saying? Zecharia ben Afkilas was trying to be a good person. He's trying to be an ethical person. The man doesn't deserve to be murdered for making a mum. Zecharia ben Afkilas was saying, you can't be makriv. Basically, the perfect choice here was a tragedy. To make this a success story, you have to choose the wrong thing. Because we live in an imperfect world, and sometimes by doing the right thing, you're doing the wrong thing. The Anovah, he was humble, he was sensitive, he was able. But because he was able in a perfect world, and you're dealing here with a person who wants to destroy the Jewish people, the Anovah of Zecharia ben Afkilas made the Churban, comes to Rekha Chava and says, Moshe Rabbeinu's Anovah kevayachal, he attaches it to this Gemara, says, Hamata is not I, it's not his stick, it's Aaron's stick. As a result of that, there's no mikveh. As a result of that, it is Mei Mirib. I finished learning the Rokha Chomer Rabbi Isai, and I'm asking myself, is there another source for this, maybe in another realm of Torah, that the Oynish of Moshe Rabbeinu has to do with this component of Mei Meriva, that there was no mikveh for Shalom? As usually, Alam Mutchens and Hashem said this, he did this, and Kiddush Hashem, he disobeyed. Rokha Chomer takes it completely to a new realm. There was an issue of another Mechaveh, there was an issue of Shalom Bayis, Bashat in Yiddish, Ahayzer, there was a lack of mikveh, that's how important the mikveh is. So the Rebbe Shomer stops here, which is his derech. This is his realm. This is where he stops, always in voices of halacha, the issue of halacha, makabel tuma, yiyatar. Now, in the final leg of the shir, let's take it to the next realm, and fascinatingly, we'll see parallels in another tchum of Torah, in the world of Nister. Here's the yisoid of the Sfas Emes and Chukas, next source. And I use this, not because he explains this vart, as an intro on the gift perspective when you learn these stories. The Indian Maimiriv, Kvar Kasam with the Makamachet, Kiloy Oyoze Oynish. Here's number one, the Sfas Emes says. Moshe was not punished. And this is strange. It says Moshe was punished. Hashem says, because. Sfas Emes knew a pasuk chumash. He knew that it says, because. What he means, Loi Hoya Oynish, is not that you have to understand what it means. Hashem says, therefore you're not going in. It's not like you started up with me, I start up with you. You think you're stronger, I'll show you who's stronger. Don't think you're pure. In my world, you're guilty, and therefore you're going to get punished. Sfas Emes says, the approach is wrong. What's the approach? Loi Hoya Oynish. Rakhoi Chocha V'raya. Leadership is a quality of time. There's a teacher and there's a leader. It's different things. A teacher speaks for eternity. A leader speaks to his time if he's a good leader. A leader of the past could have been awesome. You put him in today's generation, ineffective, worthless. We see this all the time. Because a leader must speak to the people. A leader doesn't speak about ideas. A leader doesn't speak about abstract truths. A leader speaks to where people are today. The Gevaldik Kedushas Levi, the Baditshavit writes, Teku, what's Teku? When the Gemara says Teku, let it stand. So everybody knows the Tosfos Yom Tov and Avius. Tishvi, Yitaret, Skushis, Vabayis. Eliyahu HaNavi will answer all these questions. Right, whenever you had a good question in yeshiva, what they say, you wait for Eliyahu HaNavi, and he'll answer the question. Ask about this, I don't understand. Where is Eliyahu HaNavi going to come from? The answer is, Eliyahu HaNavi is going to be the Mavasar HaGul. He's going to come with before Mashiach, Eliyahu HaNavi will be there. So the Batishra says, I don't understand. If Eliyahu HaNavi is coming, you know who else is coming? Moshe Rabbeinu. The Gemara says in Yuma, Dafhei, Moshe, L'kshivana HaMikdash, Moshe, Va'aren Imahem. It says, you have a kasha. Who should you ask? Eliyahu HaNavi or Moshe Rabbeinu? Eliyahu HaNavi is a great man. You have Moshe, even go to Eliyahu HaNavi. And he says something fascinating. It's a long shtickle, but he says one part fascinating. And he says there, Moshe is Moshe Rabbeinu. But he hasn't been in this world for 3,000 years. Eliyahu HaNavi is hanging around constantly. He says, when you have to ask a shayla, you have to ask somebody who knows the matzah in today's day. He knows what people struggle with. He knows people's sensitivities. There's a leader and there's a teacher. Leadership is a quality of time. It's the captain of a ship. Depends where the ship is, depends the nature of the sea. It's a unique skill. Leadership is not teaching. Again, teaching is ideas. Comes the Sfas Emes and says, it wasn't a punishment. The story of the rock proved that the generation going in there to Yisrael cannot have Moshe as its leader. Moshe's derech, Moshe's neshama, Moshe's madrega, they cannot have him as a leader. They need Yahushua as a leader. And the Sfas Emes goes into the whole explanation that hitting versus speaking, hitting is a whole different madrega of a relationship with the world. And Moshe demonstrated this is where he is, this is not for them, they need speaking. This Sfas Emes is Mahalik, but this is a perspective. And he says, Moshe is Nabe Bas Baklar Yamir. Moshe sees things. How do you translate Baklar Yamir? A transparent glass. Completely transparent. There's no diluting in any small way. Based on this, let's see a shtikel Arizal. Shar apsukim b'haloisach. Listen to his words. And these are loaded things and mysterious things. But perhaps we have here almost the exact parallel of what the Rakat Shabbos says in Nigla, in Halacha, in the world of Remes and the world of Soit. Says the Halak Arizal, Eretz Yisrael hikeneged Eishas Chayil Yiras Hashem. Eretz Yisrael is the Jewish woman, the woman of valor. In Kabbalah, Eretz, earth, is femininity. Everything grows from the earth. Heaven sends down rain. The droplets of rain are absorbed by Mother Earth, They're nurtured by the earth, they're fertilized in the earth, and then they're produced by the earth. And that's essentially the process of birth. Kabbalah says the rain is Mayim Duchrin, it's the masculine seed, it's absorbed in the feminine earth. Hakal Hayim in the Afar, she is the mother of creation, Eim Kol Chai, that's Eretz. Eretz Yisrael is the holy femininity, Eishas Chayil Yiras Hashem, not just any Isha, but it's Isha Yiras Hashem. Eretz Yisrael is the wife, is the so to speak, the feminine energy of the Kevayah. Whom Hashakasa B'Zoyar, Sefer HaZoyar, this is what it says, B'Zoyar, Ki Eretz Knan, Yisihara. Knan is the moon. The moon takes the light of the sun and gives us a beautiful romantic glow. Yeshua, the Gemara says in Baba Bas, the face of Moshe is the sun, the face of Yeshua is the moon, he goes into Eretz Yisrael. Moshe is the sun, he doesn't go into the moon. V'nimtza, this means, the fact that he doesn't go into Eretz Yisrael is the greatest praise of Moshe Rabbeinu. It's not the disgrace of Moshe Rabbeinu. Hoydiyam HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hashem told Miriam and Aaron, Sha'atam hu l'shvach k'niske v'davir sefer hazoyah. U'masha amartim aloy gam banu dibre. When Miriam and Aaron said we're also prophets, Eino kein, ki areyem yiyin v'yachim loy kein avdei Moshe v'hu l'vadoi p'nei chama v'lachein loy nichnas l'horitz ha'mik r'siyar ha'kadisha. He doesn't go into Eretz Yisrael. He asked the Meraglim to look if there's a tree. He didn't know if there's trees in Eretz Yisrael. It's only like if Yeshba eats Chayim, if it has the tree of life from Gan Eden, Shu Tiferes Hanikrachama. There's the sun in Eretz Yisrael that Kanas Lutoich can go in. V'imav, if there's no Eitz Chayim there, Eitz Hadas, only the moon, which came as a result of the Kitruk and Chulin Dav Samach, Lo Yakamis, I can't go in. V'amru, they said to Eretz Yisrael, Yisiaroi Lo. Eretz Yisrael is the moon, l'chein Yeshua shopei levana nichnas ba. Yeshua has the face of the moon, he can go in. Aval Moshe shepan upnei chama Yisrael yoyin aloi nichnas ba. Listen to his words. Ki ein halavana me'ira ba'oid sha'ashemesh kayam. If the sun goes into the domain of the moon, you know what happens to the moon? It's gone. Moshe can't go into Eretz Yisrael, not to embarrass Eretz Yisrael. For the moon to glow, the sun has to set. When the sun is shining, there's no moon. Moshe's Pnei Chama, he can't go into Eretz Yisrael. The Meraglim come back and they say there's no Eitz HaChayim in Eretz Yisrael. There's a fig, there's a pomegranate, there's no Eitz HaChayim, there's Eitz HaDas, the moon. Moshe said, I can't go into Eretz Yisrael. Why? He's Pnei Chama. The sun will not eclipse and embarrass the moon. Eretz Yisrael is femininity. Eretz Yisrael is Eishas Chayim Yiras Hashem. Eretz Yisrael is the moon. Moshe is Pnei Chama. It's a different experience. It's a different level. What are we learning from here? The Gemara says in Shabbos Daf Pei Zayin, one of the things Moshe did was Piresh Min Ha'isha. He himself separated from his wife. Perhaps, and I'm only saying this B'derech Efshe, and a big B'derech Efshe, for Moshe, not having the mikveh working, wasn't the greatest gaval in the world. Because Moshe for 40 years was in a state of seclusion and separation. But Moshe was Pnei Chama. Moshe was a transcendent soul. Like King Avdi Moshe b'chol beis sinemon, Moshe saw God face to face. We don't even have a comprehension into the type of spirituality of Moshe Rabbeinu. Indeed, that's the humility of Moshe. Ish Moshe onav moi b'chol adam ashra pnei adamo. Moshe doesn't have an ego. Moshe doesn't have a self. Says in Medrash. He says, I'm going to give you rain. Who's I? Who's I? It's in Torah. Krishna. Who's I? I'm going to give you rain. I speak. His eye is Hashem's eye. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. His humility is of a different nature. Perhaps that's what it means. He goes into Kodesh HaKadosh to take the stick of Aaron. He's not supposed to go into Kodesh HaKadosh. What happened when the Kohen Gadol went into Kodesh HaKadosh on Yom Kippur? What's the opening of Masechta Yuma? Shivas Yomim Kodesh Yom HaKippurim? Mafrishim Kohen Gadol Mibeso. The Kohen Gadol separates from his family life. Later he'll go back. Moshe goes into the Holy of Holies at this moment. As a result, there's no mikveh. There's no relationship between the sun and the moon, between heaven and earth, between all of the forces of nature. Moshe Rabbeinu is from a different world, as the Sfas Emes says, Eitz Achayim, Aspaklaria Meira, Madriga Hagvoya. Eitz Yisroel represents the woman of Klal Yisroel. Moshe, Sandra Katrover, created Kivayochel a certain disharmony between the feminine and the masculine, Kabbalistically too. Moshe is above Eretz Yisrael, he's the face of the sun. If he comes into the world of the moon, it embarrasses and eclipses the moon. Yeshua is a diluted, a compromised level. Knei Levoyme is the face of the moon. Yeshua can go into Eretz Yisrael. Moshe doesn't go into Eretz Yisrael. And so it's Isha Yiris Hashem. Rakatrava says, May Miriva, there was a problem in taking care and nurturing the shalom between Isha and Isha. It's affected in Eretz Yisrael. Isha Yiris Hashem. At last, finally, we come to one last shtickle of Reb Tzadik HaKoyen of Lublin in his Sefer Resisei Laila. And this should be your last source, Resisei Laila, page 178. Let me read it inside. As usually by him, it's complicated, it's multi-layered, it's multifaceted, and it's nuanced, it's sensitive ideas. But everything we discussed will suddenly emerge here in the world of Nistar, in the world of Kabbalah, and in the world of Chassidus, the way it was conceived by Reb Tzadik HaKoyen of Lublin. V'chol misa rak mitzat chisaron hakedusha hagmura. All death is a result of the lack of complete holiness. Basically, he means before the Eitz Hadas there was no death. Why should anybody die? Hashem doesn't die, you're part of Hashem, you don't die. When there's separation, that's, and in fact, the part of you that's a part of Hashem never dies. When there's separation, there can be decay, and there can be death. By Moshe, there was no Kedusha missing. That's why nobody knows where he's buried. And he died placed on the mouth of Hashem by a kiss. Meaning it's not the regular process of death. And the Gemara says, Nsoita, Moshe Loi Meis, in other words, the regular process of death, the way we understand it, doesn't apply to Moshe. So, Adirav, Mitzatoykev Agdusha. He's kissed by God. This is the ultimate holiness, not the lack of it. What happened was, he caused, apparently, on an external level, the way we see it, he caused a void in the Kedusha of the Jewish people, but not for real. The expression, it looks like the Jewish people became less holy, even though they really did not. He says, as a result of what happened, the feeling of Kedusha wasn't so strong. And this void is connected to him because the leader is the generation. We spoke, when was it, last week? Moshe is Yisrael. Moshe is the Jewish people. You didn't believe to sanctify me by Yikadosh Bom, and he was sanctified with them. What's going on here? Hashem Silcha. Hashem is your shadow. What does it mean, Hashem is your shadow? Your shadow follows you. You lift up your hand, and your shadow moves. You lift up your foot, and it affects your shadow. David HaMelech says in Shir HaMalos Esa'ena, Hashem Tzilcha, Hashem is your shadow, meaning Hashem's energy, Kivayochel, reacts to us. Kamayim Aponim Leponim, we generate Hashem's energy. Our thoughts, our actions, our words. We create the energy above. That's why it says in Zohar, a person is happy, they create happiness around them. A person is depressed and fakvetched and melancholy, they create a depressing energy around them. It's not just delusional thoughts. Our thoughts, our attitudes have very real power in the world. That's called Hashem Tzilch, Hashem is your shadow. This is the Baal Shem Tov said. When a person finds Kedusha in himself or herself, Hashem Tzilch, this Kivayachal creates Kedusha in Hashem, meaning he becomes sanctified among the Jewish people. Behind why the Kedusha is B'nai Yisrael. Now, here we go. Yadua Mayim Roimus L'Kaiva. It's known that water always represents cravings. Mayim in Kabbalah is Mayim Duchrin, and Mayim Nukvin is masculine water, feminine water. Mayim Duchrin is the seed of the man. Mayim Nukvin is the flow of the woman. It represents the energy and the craving of intimacy, generally when people are around water, it creates a certain pleasure. Mayim atzmichim kol minei tainim, they produce tainim. Water is associated with tainim. The flow of intimacy. Moshe Rabbeinu olav shalom haya meruchav l'gamri mikol minei tainim v'chemes adam hazim. Moshe was completely distant from all the creatures of this world to the point that he didn't even conceive them. Moshe Amar, that's why he tells Hashem, may I only bossa? Where am I going to get rib steak? The Zayin Shachas Lo Madri Gonser, Nach Lahamtur Lechem and Hashemayim. Moshe says, that those are Rashba for the Gevin Arashba. You want a Shtikal Mon, I'll give you a Mon. You want a Rambam, I'll give you a Rambam. You want a Lakus, I can give you bread from heaven. You want a barbecue Sunday afternoon and Mon sickness, you gotta go to Sunday. May I only bossa? Where do I have this? It wasn't a Shagla of a Mon, and Moshe was like, this is not me. It's not Moshe. Moshe, you have to know who you are. May I only bossa? Hashem says, you're right. We have to get 70 people. And through those people, they'll be bossa. It'll come from you through them. Moshe can give bread from heaven. He can't give... It's good for vegetarians. Moshe cannot feed you meat. May I only bossa? He leads them in a desert that's dried up from all physical, normal pleasures. It's a desert. There's nothing there. Where does he get water from? He gets water already parshas b'shalach, b'kisa b'absur. He gets it from a rock that's completely dry, has no water. That's where he gets water from. Completely not from the natural resources of Elam Hazah, because Moshe is a different soul. Hashem is Baruch Amar, comes Hashem and says, she'yidamar el asela, speak to the rock, b'nosan me'mo. Let it give his water, its water. Haynu shegam lo yesh mayim benosam neimov. He also has water. Ki be'emes Hashem is baruch bara ha-taiva. Hashem is the one who created taiva. Ve'ein levatola. The koyach ha-taiva is not evil in Judaism. Our cravings, our desires, our yearnings for relationships or whatever it is. These are creative powers of God. The stamp of humanity of every human creature. It's not evil, it's not bad, it's not destructive. Rak? Shelo yachmed v'yisav olam ha'shein ha'shaloi. Yeah, the problem is when I start craving everything that you have. Then it becomes confusing, becomes addictive, it becomes overwhelming, it becomes destructive. The koyach ha'taiva itself is not bad, you have to harness it. Ve'ein l'chaber yishein l'cheshif ha'taiva le'zadav rashay echlot. There's no creature in the world that doesn't have a taiva to that which belongs to it. If not, you're not a barrier. A barrier means you crave, you yearn, you aspire. You have to find who you are and what you need. That's it. If I start aspiring to your house and you aspire to mine, then it's a dual ayotzus. Leisachmoid, beis riach ha'eshus riach ha'chamoy rechol ha'shel riach. But the koyach ha'taiva means you have to know who you are, what belongs to you, and go for it. This is your dream. This is your shlichus. This is your mission. But get rid of taiva, chas v'shalom, repressing people, crushing people, turning them into robots, factories, zoyslai, full creativity. Find who you are, find your koyach, find your shlichus, find your taiva, not somebody else's taiva. V'zeo ne'imav, hashayochem loy. V'shalom tells Moshe, you think you're completely beyond taiva, go to this rock. V'nosan ne'imav, let him give his water, Moshe's water, your own water, you have to find your water. Don't start craving things that you think are yours, but they don't really belong to you because you don't know who you really are. And that takes a big avoid, and that discovery sometimes takes a few gilgulim, a few incarnations. And when you speak to the rock in the name of God, it will give out its water. What's the water? The water is the koyach of intimacy, the koyach of taiva. It will give out its water, l'shem shamayim. Everybody will channel their creativity, their passions, their emotions, and their feelings the way in order to fulfill their mission in life, in every area in life, of course, including in koyach ha'taiva. V'nosam me'mor. Its own water, but for this you have to speak to the rock. V'zeo k'dushas ha'taiva is the Bnei Yisrael. The Ribbono Shel Olam was addressing at this moment the sanctification of the taivas, of the cravings and the passions of every Jew. She'af al pi shegam b'hem yesh taiva, even though every one of them has taivas. And when you look at those taivas, sometimes you go fat. Says Reb Tzadik, "Amitzus ha'avosum shal Yisrael l'Hashem Yisbarach." Beautiful words. The emes taiva of a yid is dveikus, intimacy with Hashem. However, he may not be aware of what Hashem is, and he may not be aware of the depth of his own taiva. So he attaches his taiva to different outlets, which is really what all addiction is. When I'm searching for alcohol or food or gambling or websites, the alcohol is really what I'm looking for. I think I'm looking for it. I feel I'm looking for it. I really have a very deep void. And I never met that void. I never filled my own taiva. So I look for things that can compensate and make me feel short-term good. The problem is, it's short-term because it's not real. Because you're not filling your taiva. You're not identifying what you need in life. And the ultimate tzachakel of all your taivas is, you're looking for God. You're looking for dveikus. You want a real relationship with truth, with yourself, with reality. That's what Ritzotti says. That's the real taiva. It comes across in thousands of taivas. It could be from cheesecake to some things that are uglier. But the nekud is, Hashem, the chalta wasam l'shem shamayim, comes Moshe. Moshe Rabbein Olav HaShalom, he can besel ha'kol. He takes the rock, he goes, rach. What is he saying? Roim is li surin, u'bitush kashis ha'guf shal yishka b'tavois. Moshe says, the way you deal with taiva is you have to strike the rock, not speak to the rock. Not v'divartem el ha'selah v'nos ha'meimah. You have to strike the rock, you have to hit the guf. You have to crush the body that it shouldn't submerge in his taivas. Because Moshe, who knows what the real taiva is, but he says, I want to take you away even from what your taiva looks like. I want the Jews to be Kedusha within, without, and therefore let's make a different gulf. Let's make a different body. Let's make an elevated person. Be kisa. Let's strike it. Don't be physical. Don't have your taiva. I want full expression of kedusha within and without. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu does. V'zeh goram chisorim b'kedusha d'Hashem yizvarech shu'tolli b'kedusha d'bnei Yisrael. And when you delegitimize the kedusha of the Jewish people, k'vayachol yam lo yehemantem bi l'haknisheni le'enei b'nei Yisrael v'yikadosh bo. Not believing in their Kedusha is a compromise in my Kedusha. And not understanding that this is their Kedusha is a compromise in my Kedusha. Shu toli v'kedusha d'bnei Yisrael, v'alkei nigzer alei yemisa, v'yikodesh bom b'misasa. In their death he was sanctified, v'bazen nizgala ha-kedusha shevetayvus b'nei Yisrael. This revealed that Moshe Kevayochu can't lead the next generation. Why? Because Moshe is saying, no water in this way. The only water that I want to come out is once you strike down the body and it's beyond Gashmias. But the truth is that the avoid of the ordinary Jew is to discover, channel, and harness his body, his or her physical self as a vehicle for the true Kedusha, which is Kedusha Hashem. The Machamasa in Nenshu, the Noisa is called Kedusha Yisbarach. For their Kedusha, they were punished. And the true Kedusha of Hashem was revealed through showing the Kedusha of the Jewish people. Kizeu Kedushasa Yisbarech Kashi Yisrael Kedushasa Shegam Kol Davai Seyem L'Shem Shamayim. The great Kedusha of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is that all of their taivas, meaning the taivas that they work with and they challenge it. When you say you have to be careful, I'm saying this is sensitive. All the taivas of L'Shem Shamayim, it doesn't mean every single fahakta, fahdorbana, corrupt, destructive, crazy addiction that people have that destroys their lives, destroys their family lives, is Kadosh Kadosh. You have to be very sensitive. What he's saying is, deep down the source of it is you're looking for Ruchnias. You're looking for Lakus. And the Eitz in life is not to destroy Koyach HaTayna. The Eitz in life is to align the outer with the inner. And to work on the outer that it should reflect the inner. Moshe Rabbeinu is from a different world. Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't need a mikveh. Moshe Rabbeinu creates Nei Riva. Moshe's Pnei Chav is beyond Pnei Levomeh. Moshe is the highest Kedusha, and he wants the Jewish people should reach the highest Kedusha. But ultimately, Moshe is Pirish Bnei Isha. And if Moshe shows up in the presence of the moon, it's very embarrassing. Not because Moshe is low, it's because Moshe is very, very high. In the story of history, Moshe remains the eternal teacher, lamplighter of the Jewish people forever. Who will take them into Pnei Levomeh? Who will take them into the world of the body, to the world of nature? Who will take them in to the world of Isha, Yiras Hashem, where you need a mikveh, where you need a meimiriv, where you have the water that flows not through striking the body, but through sticking to the body? The Sela is like the body, the hard body. Don't crush it. Speak to it. Cultivate it. And align the physical with the spiritual. This will be the mission of Moshe's student and successor, the face of the Bunya Yeshua. Have a wonderful day.